Grace, mercy, and peace be with you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for today's message is from today's gospel, where the disciples and of the Pharisees and the Herodians asked him, "Teacher, we know that you are true and teach the way of God truthfully, and you do not care about anyone's opinion, for you are not swayed by appearances. Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why put me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin for the tax." And they brought him a denarius, and Jesus said to them, "Whose likeness and inscription is this?" And they said, "Caesar's." Then he said to them, "Therefore, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." So far the text. Dear friends in Christ, years ago, when I was covering a vacancy, it was my first day on the job, and I was in the pastor's office meeting with the elders of the church and the president of the congregation. And in the middle of our meeting, this elderly lady, I'd never been to this church before, so I didn't know who she was, but she just came storming right in the office like she owned the place, and she shoved a piece of paper in front of me, and she said these were all the people I had to stop giving communion to. And there were about 40 names on there, including all the elders and the president of the congregation. And they only worship like 70 people, you know, so communion would be really fast if I did this. And I was just kind of caught off guard, and I said, "Well, I'll talk with you later." And so we finished up our meeting. And I met with her three or four more times after that, and every single time I did, she would get angrier and angrier and angrier. I had to stop communing these people because they were too liberal, or they liked guitars being played in church, or they'd done something to offend her, and she hadn't forgiven them, and it just went on and on and on. Until finally, the last time I met with her, I just said, "Look," I said, I'm going to keep communing those people, but I've never done this before, I said, but as it turns out, I've never done it since, but I said, I'm really concerned about you receiving the Lord's Supper, because you're so filled with anger and hate, and you really have to try to at least make an effort to reconcile yourself to other people, or at least see that you're at partial fault as well." And she stormed out of the office. And next Sunday, sure enough, she was straight up in center, ready to get communion, just daring me not to give it to her. And I gave it to her. And after the service, I said to her, "Now I'm just assuming that you repented. Because from now on, it's not up to me. From now on, it's between you and God." Well, 2 weeks later, I got a letter, not from her, okay? I got a letter from the president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Now, he's in heaven now, and so I can tell this story. And I got a letter from him. Now, he used to be, unbeknownst to me, he used to be a pastor of this church 35 years prior, right? And in the letter, of course, that's when the lady wasn't completely crazy, okay? And in the letter, he basically commanded me to give her communion. And I was furious. That's not how it works in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, okay? A synodical president or district president are not bosses of the pastors. It doesn't work that way. I'm not called by the synod. I'm not called by the district. I'm not called by my circuit. I'm called by this church. And he should have known that. And so I called my dad up and told him, and he was like, he was impressed. That had never happened to him before. And I was like, good, you know. And he goes, "Well, so what are you going to do about it?" And I go, "Well, I've already written the letter." And he goes, "Well, now why would you want to do that?" And I said, "Because I have every right to do that, and it's the right thing to do." And he said, "No, you didn't hear me. Why do you want to do it?" And I said, "Because I want to stick it to this guy." And he goes, "Now, is that the right reason to do it?" And I said, "No." And I put the letter away, and I kept, I mean, I saved him for a while, but eventually I got rid of him. But he had a point, you see. He wasn't really dealing with whether it was legal for me to do that or morally right for me to do that. He wanted to know personally why I wanted to do it. And it was wrong. And that's what Jesus basically does here. He kind of goes beyond with his answer, beyond any legalities or even the moral stance, and he gets right close and personal to the people who are trying to trap him for a very important reason. Now, the ones who wanted to trap him were the Pharisees. They've had enough of Jesus these last couple days in the temple courtyards, especially with the last three parables where he zinged them three times. And So they get their disciples to go and question Jesus, to try to trap him. And you can see how angry they are because of the people they choose to set the trap with. They're the Herodians. The Pharisees hated those guys almost as much as they hated Jesus. Because the Herodians were working along with Herod Antipas, and they loved it that the Romans were there because it made them, it gave them a position, it gave them a lot of money, it gave them power and prestige. So everybody hated them, especially the Pharisees. So he gets them along for a specific reason, because when they ask this question, is it lawful, is it legal to pay taxes to Caesar? If Jesus says, I think you should pay taxes to Caesar, then everybody's going to be upset with Jesus, because everybody hated this tax. But if he says it's unlawful, you shouldn't pay taxes to Caesar, the Herodians immediately would have gone to Pontius Pilate and told him what Jesus said during one of the most, important, very dangerous times of the year in Jerusalem. That's the Passover, when revolution is in the air. And immediately Pontius Pilate would have arrested Jesus, certainly imprisoned him, possibly even crucified him for saying this. This is sedition against Rome. Now, what is this tax, and why are people so upset about it? It was a head tax on everybody who lived in the Roman Empire. Now, for a long time, the Jews were exempt from that tax. As long as Herod the Great was king, they didn't have to pay it. But as soon as he died, and governors like Pontius Pilate came in, then they had to pay it. And so it was very unpopular. Now, to get some idea of what the tax is, let's just say a laborer would earn, $40,000. Let's just pick that, $40,000 as a number. How much federal tax do we pay on $40,000? Federal tax, including Social Security and Medicare. $40,000, you roughly pay $7,000. I looked it up, so I'm not good at math, but I looked it up. $7,000 off of $40,000. Now, if you had the equivalent of $40,000 2,000 years ago in Palestine, the tax would be $160. Now, either we should be much more upset about how much we're paying, or 2,000 years ago, they should have been a lot less upset about it, because that's not a lot of federal tax. Now, we have to remember, that's just one of many taxes that they had to pay back then. But still, I really don't think it had to do with the money. It had to do with the principle. And that was seen most clearly in a group of people called the Zealots. One of Jesus' disciples was a zealot. These guys violently were against paying this tax. They would kill Roman soldiers and cause revolutions. They were from Galilee, where Jesus was from. And you see, what the Pharisees are assuming is going to happen is that Jesus, who is also from Galilee, is going to say, absolutely, you should not pay taxes to Caesar. And then the problem with Jesus is solved. So Jesus said, get me one of those denarii. By the way, it just occurred to me, it shows you how poor Jesus is. He doesn't have a denarius, okay? They all do. And so they pop one out, and he says, okay, whose picture is that on there, and whose inscription? And they say Caesar. And it would have been more than likely Tiberius Caesar, and the inscription would have said Tiberius, the high priest of Augustus the God. In other words, absolute blasphemy. And so he says, who are those? They say, it's Caesar's, and he gives the answer, well, pay what you owe Caesar, and pay what you owe God. And it's easy to look at this and say, well, Jesus is just, using kind of snazzy language there so that nobody could blame him for either thing, right? The Herodians couldn't blame him, and the people couldn't blame him, and they couldn't accuse him of anything, and that certainly is true. But again, Jesus wasn't asked if it was morally right to pay that tax. He was asked if it was legally right. And what I see Jesus doing here in the whole picture of this lesson is he goes beyond the legal, he goes beyond the moral, and he goes to personal. You can see how he does that right away. He says, you hypocrites. He knows why they're hypocrites. They're hypocrites because they don't really want an answer to learn. They want Jesus in prison. And why do they hate Jesus so much? Pontius Pilate knew it when they turned him over to him to be killed on Good Friday. It said he knew that they had done this because they envied him. They envied him because people were following and listening to him. And so they figured this is the way of putting an end to Jesus. Now, in this answer he gives, he does hit it on kind of a lower level what's going on. And he teaches us things that are important. One is that, okay, if we owe, there's certainly nothing legally getting in the way of us paying a tax to Caesar or the United States government for that matter. But secondly, he's saying there is a difference in scope, because there's a limit to how much you are owed, that the Caesar is owed. There is no limit to what God is owed. None. But then what I think he's doing here is he gets very personal with the Pharisees. And he's not dealing with legal, he's not dealing with moral, he's dealing with them. And so he reaches out days before he's going to be killed on the cross to the people who are going to be calling for him to be crucified. He makes it personal, just like my father made it personal with me. Why are you going to send that letter? Because it's the right thing to do. Why are you going to send the letter? Because it would feel good. Wrong answer. He does the same with them. He's basically, in the last 3 weeks of lessons in this one, he's been saying to the Pharisees, look, I know you hate me, I know you envy me, and I know you're going to kill me in a few days. And I know you heard me when I cleansed the temple, and I called the temple my Father's house. You know what that means. I'm calling myself the Son of God and God himself. You heard that, and you've heard my teaching. And you've seen the miracles and signs that I've done. Most of you have even seen Lazarus raised from the dead. You know that happened. And so he's saying, follow me. Trust in me. Believe in me. He's reaching out to them. Those who hate him that much. He's reaching out to them because even though he was sent for the lost children of Israel, that includes the horrible shepherds who have been misleading God's sheep. He loves them. There would have been nothing easier for Jesus to ignore the Pharisees. And all throughout the Gospels, he never does that. But when we read these give and takes between Jesus and the Pharisees, we have to understand he's not just trying to show how smart he is, okay? And he's not just trying to win an argument, which he always does. His words are not spoken in a vacuum. They're spoken at a specific time, and they're spoken to specific people. And these are people that he loves. These are people that he cares about. These are people he calls to repentance. Because they will nail him to a cross, and Jesus will look down and say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And that sin was forgiven. I think it's important for us, in a lesson like this, when he engages the Pharisees, which he didn't need to do, is he does that out of love to them. And some of them would become Christians. Most of the priests at that time would later, after Pentecost, become Christians. It wasn't a lost cause. The Apostle Paul could have easily been some of those Pharisees that were there that day. But he went to the cross because he loved them too. And he loves us just as much because we sin, because we seek to do things, because they're the right thing to do and they're the legal thing to do when they're not the Christ thing to do. And I think that's the importance of the center of the cross for us, is that every time we look at that cross and we hear him say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, we know that he is doing that in love, that he's buying us back from sin, Satan, and death so that we can be his totally, and so that in faith we can know that and have peace and share that good news. In Jesus' name, amen.